The following recording was produced by Christ Redeemer Church of Hanover, New Hampshire. You may find more information on the church and its various resources on the web at www.christredeemerchurch.org.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Robert Moore, and I'm a pastoral intern at Christ Redeemer Church, and it's my privilege to be with you all this Good Friday. On Sunday, just a few days ago, many of us gathered to celebrate and to remember the triumphal entry, the celebration at the entrance to Jerusalem that greeted Jesus as he came into the city. The King of the Jews had arrived on a donkey as foretold, and the people knew, they were certain, that their Messiah would deliver them from the Roman Empire and usher in the era of goodness and riches they had longed for. And yet tonight we see those same people shift from crowning their king to deposing him in a matter of days. Yet we also see this disgraced king delivered into the hands not just of human authority or mob psychology, but into those of a divine judge. A king deposed and disgraced, yet a king delivered. I want to start tonight by bringing together everything we have seen and spoken of thus far, because it's important for us to see the whole picture when we look at the cross of Christ. We started by reflecting on the Christ prophesied in Isaiah 12, the one who took our pain and bore our suffering. We sang praise to the Lord as we met him at his cross, where he was crowned in mockery, despised, and gory. We read of his sorrow as he poured out his heart to his Father, ready to accept his Father's will, and then we saw his Father's will carried out as Jesus was betrayed by one of his own closest disciples. Jesus was seized and taken away, and even Jesus' staunchest supporter and friend, the disciple Peter, was afraid to be associated with him. And so Christ was smitten, stricken, and afflicted. He was mocked, ridiculed, and beaten. After this, Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate, prefect of Judea, on charges of treason and rebellion. Yet when asked if he truly claimed to be king, Jesus responded, "You have said so." You can almost hear the question Pilate asked as he looked on this bloody, bruised man. "Is this really the King of the Jews? How could this bloody, broken man be a king of anything?" Almost in pity, it seems Pilate wants to drop the charges. "I find no guilt in this man." And yet it was the leaders of Jesus' own people who tried to force Pilate's hand against him. And so Pilate goes to the ones who only days ago praised Jesus as he entered Jerusalem, calling out, "Hosanna, please save us." And these same people demand Jesus' blood in exchange for a rebel already found guilty. They begin to shout, "Crucify, crucify him." And Pilate relents, releasing the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom the Jewish people had asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will, to his death. And as Jesus is taken to the hill of Golgotha, where he is lifted up on the cross and darkness descends over the land, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then one unnamed man sees the truth, that truly this man was the Son of God. This is a story that has been shared for nearly 2,000 years. It is our history, and it is the one story that speaks more truly than any other to the depth of human depravity and evil. It's hard not to hear these words and see the injustice in this man's treatment. It's hard not to rage at how wrong this picture truly is, at how this good man could die in such a humiliating, disgraceful way. And as is easy to do when we react in outrage, we might find ourselves thinking that we are above such behavior. And yet we are not as removed from this story as we may like. In fact, the song we just finished singing was born out of a much more recent story of human evil. This song, "Were You There," comes from the worship of American slaves who sought to remind themselves that their Lord suffered with them, not just in the past, but in the present horrendous circumstances inflicted upon them. And just like the Jewish people then, our ancestors told themselves that this was a necessary thing, even that it was good for such evil to be carried out. But we delude ourselves if we persist in believing that there is not just as much evil in this world today as there was in Jesus' day, or as there was when many of our ancestors thought it was good and right to possess another image bearer of God. Thankfully, some of that evil that we see may not look exactly the same. Learning does happen by the grace of God, but evil is still present in our lives, and the scars of so many past evils still mark us today. We know this. We live this. And tonight we remember all the hurt and pain we have known as we see it reflected in that which Jesus endured on our behalf. Were You There? This song is a beautiful reminder that the penalty Christ paid on the cross was not just for people back then, was not just for people in some forgotten era of history, but is for us now. And the sorrow this song evokes should lead us to ask how. How could we let such evil exist? How could we call evil good? How could Jesus have had to die so horribly for us? It's one thing to look at these events and call them wrong or evil, but it's another thing to ask, why did they come to pass at all? Why did those who sought to crown Jesus deliver him to be disgraced only a few days later? I think we can ask the question, why do we seek to oust our leaders when they do things or say things we don't want them to? Now, many times with our leaders today, we want them out for good reason. Maybe their evil is revealed in a public way and it becomes clear that they should not have the mantle of authority their constituents might have given them. But Jesus never ran for office on some platform that he failed to deliver. No, Jesus was ousted for giving the people what they needed, a suffering servant as a model and example of leadership. You see, the Jewish people, they wanted a king who would win their freedom through war. But instead, Jesus came to win our freedom through his death. And so his supporters fled when they realized the platform they'd given him wasn't the one that he was going to stand on. This man blasphemes. He can't really be the Son of God. If he was, he would save himself now. We look at him and you hear the mockery in the voices of these people as they walk past him. You who would raise the temple in 3 days, do it now. Save yourself. And it makes me ask the question, what evil do we justify today as though it were good? What lies do we tell ourselves to justify whatever we might do to try to earn what we want, whether that be love, praise, wealth, esteem, you name it? And how quickly do we turn away from God when it seems like he isn't going to be our magic genie and deliver on our platform? We may even want good things, things that seem far less selfish than a king who will conquer those who conquered you. And yet when Christ doesn't deliver on the things we want him to promise us, our faith tends to waver. So when we sing this song, "Were You There," we are reminding ourselves that what Christ did on the cross goes beyond whatever small, selfish plan we might want to see him carry out on our behalf. Instead, we remind ourselves tonight of the terrifying beauty of God's justice being carried out so that he might be merciful to those who deserve that justice in his place. We don't ask, "Were you there?" literally, but instead to help bring these past events into focus in our present moment. Because in a way, we were there. In that moment, as the Son of God died an unjust death of the worst kind, he knew my sin and he knew yours. In that moment, he knew all the evil that this world that we would inflict, and he bore a weight of guilt that none of us could imagine as he was delivered into God's hands. This is our King delivered. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." Something Jesus never actually claimed. Jesus was killed for claiming something he never actually said he was, because he knew what they wanted from him. And the injustice of this human trial reveals how clearly we need an outside judge to weigh in. We need a better judge to weigh this man's guilt or innocence, as it is clear no human court could do so fairly. So we see Jesus delivered not just into the hands of Pilate or the hands of this crowd, but into the hands of God, his Father. And even the crowd waits with bated breath to see if Elijah will save this man. The weight of guilt on Jesus' head lays heavier and far more painfully than his crown of thorns, because Jesus comes before the Father utterly blameless and yet bearing our guilt. Punished for a crime he never committed, a claim he never made, and then killed for our transgressions for which he was not responsible. And yet he did so willingly. He did so knowing what it would cost, knowing the pain that he would bear, the suffering that he would endure, the disgrace he would face. And he did so fully and utterly, in complete obedience to his Father. But this is not some story of God the Son in conflict with God the Father. No, this was their plan from the beginning. Because in this atrocity and utter injustice towards Christ, we are granted mercy and grace without measure. What did his death accomplish? We see it as Jesus breathes his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. This curtain separated the Jewish people from the presence of God in his temple. It protected his people from the holiness, the goodness of God that would obliterate anything tainted by evil that came into his presence. And yet when Christ is killed, that curtain is torn so that there is now no separation between God and his people in Christ. All we must do is look on the cross as this one unnamed centurion did and confess the truth that truly this man is the Son of God. Jesus Christ, fully human and fully God, came into this earth knowing the cup that he would be asked to bear, that he would die for sins that were not his own, for every human being's sin, so that God's image bearers might be reconciled to him, that they might be made right with him eternally, if only they would believe. And it is in his death that we receive that grace of God. The penalty our sin had earned us has been experienced and paid for in full. And so now those who look and see this full picture of God's grace and mercy and justice as it is painted by all the writers of the Gospels have the opportunity to approach God and come to him in a way we never could before. And sometimes it will cause us to tremble as we look at the extent of what has been done for us. But rejoice, rejoice in your trembling, because we can finally come home. Not just to a broken home or a broken family, but to a good Father who loves his children so much that he would send his only one to take the punishment they earned in their place. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray to the one who made a way for us to come home, as we pray to the King who delivered us? Lord Jesus, you know how inadequate we feel in your presence, Lord, how inadequate I feel to be speaking of your goodness now. Lord, it is unfathomable that you would endure something so awful for us. Something we deserve. Lord, it is unfair in the greatest cosmic sense imaginable. And yet, Lord, it is you. It is your glory displayed on the cross that our greatest fear, death. Lord, that is where we are made right with you. In the death of your Son. The King who reigns at your right hand for all eternity, who was delivered for us. And so, Father, as we remember his sacrifice tonight, I pray that you would direct our gaze to the cross where your Son was lifted up. And Lord, I pray that we would weep with him. Lord, that we would ache with the sorrow and agony that the evil and sin that exists in this world still, Lord, all that sin and pain and evil has caused, all the wounds that have been inflicted. And Lord, I pray that in the scarred body of your Son, we would see the price paid for those wounds that we inflicted, that we deserved. And Lord, I pray that the truth of your Son's sacrifice would bring us joy, and that we would humbly approach you in love and awe at the wondrous works you perform, Father. God, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you, and we thank you for your goodness to us. It's in your name I pray. Amen.